In Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells a parable about what we call the parable of the sower. And he said that a sower went forth and sowed seed, and the seed fell on four types of soil. It fell on the wayside soil. It fell on stony ground. It fell on thorny ground, and it fell on good ground. Now, listen carefully. Only 25% was productive. 25%. Now, I can share some with you that would be disheartening, but I won't share with that. But what Jesus is teaching us is that many Christians hear the word, but they don't live productive lives. And he reveals to us in Mark chapter 4 why Christians don't live productive lives, but he also revealed to us secrets of the productive life. So last week, we discovered the first divine secret of the productive life is to understand Satan's organized, strategic, purposeful plan to separate believers from the word. He has a plan to separate believers from the word. We talked about the five areas of need that every person has and how the word is connected to those five areas. We also talked about the fact that faith comes by hearing. So if Satan can stop us from can cut us off from the word, then he can cut us from our faith. And then we talked about how he does it. And here again, I can't go through everything, but there are three basic ways that he cut believers off from the word. Number one is complexity. The Bible says when the word is sown and they don't understand it. So complexity. Secondly, a closed mind. And we talked about what Satan used to cause Christians to close their minds to the word and to the church and all those things. And then lastly, we said covertness. Covertness, clandestine, subtle, camouflage. Anything that is camouflage means that the enemy conceals himself by appearing to look like the natural environment. In other words, Satan is not going to walk up to you and say, I'm the devil, I've come to destroy you. He camouflages himself. So in Mark, watch this now. In Mark chapter 4, Satan is only mentioned one time. But the rest of the way, he's camouflaging himself. Wow. He's camouflaging himself in our environments and our circumstances, our situations, because he don't want us to know that he's after the word. So tonight we're going to look at the second divine secret. We're going to look at the second divine secret. I want you to put Mark 4, and I want you to put verse 5 and 6 up there, and we'll look at this. Now, look what it says. It says, and some seed fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. Now, before we look at the interpretation, Jesus says that the farmer planted the seed and the seed fell into the soil, but it was a thin layer of soil. So the root system went down because the root system goes down in the ground to get the nutrients from the soil. But when it went down, it hit bedrock. It was too thin. Okay, so when the sun came out and began to beam down on the plant, and the root system normally would draw the nutrients and the water from the soil, it couldn't draw nutrients and water because it hit a rock. There was not enough earth for it to develop a root system. So he said the plant withered away. So what he did now, he showed us a natural illustration. And then he comes back in verse 16 and 17, and he gives us the spiritual interpretation. So let's look at it. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they, now watch this, they heard the word, and immediately they received it with gladness. So they were excited about it. Look what happened. but they had no root in themselves. And so they did endure for a time afterward. Now watch when the sun came out. When affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they were offended.
My Lord.
So this is a group of Christians who heard the word, but they were not productive in their lives. Okay, now here's the second key, divine key, or the second secret to a productive life is anticipating challenges and handling pressure. Anticipating challenges. How many of you are born again? You're Christians. You're Christians. Okay, that's most of us here. Most of us here are Christians. The secret to productivity is you have to anticipate challenges, and you're going to handle pressure, have to handle some pressure. Now, let's talk about anticipating challenges. Say this, we're not in heaven.
We're not in heaven.
Okay, not yet. Come on, say, we're not in heaven. Okay, come on, say that.
We're not in heaven.
Okay, so now Jesus said to us, listen carefully, I'm going to quote some scripture. Jesus said to us in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, in me, you're going to have peace. So we can have peace all the time, no matter what's happening to us. We can have peace all the time, all the time. Come on, say all the time, all the time, all the time. He said, but in the world, you shall have tribulation, trouble. You're going to have some challenges. You're going to have some problems. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, listen at this. We have to anticipate that the moment we accept Jesus Christ, we became an enemy of Satan. The moment you say, Jesus, the Lord of my life, I'm born again, then Satan looks at you as an enemy. Okay, and now you're in spiritual warfare, so you have to anticipate that there are going to be some challenges because we're not in heaven. Come on, say, we're not in heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, now listen at this. Listen at this. Acts 14, 19 through 22. Acts 14, 19 through 22. The Apostle Paul, after having healed somebody, preached the gospel, lives were changed, some folk came in and stoned him. So the dude has been stoned. I'm talking about real rocks hit him, knocked him out, and many believe that he actually died. Christians stood around him, prayed for him. He was resurrected. The Bible says that he got up after having been stoned, went right back into the city and started preaching. And then he said something in the 22nd verse. He said, listen, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So we see that even though Paul ran into some challenges, it didn't throw him.
Amen.
It did not throw him. Watch this. Because he was anticipating that there was going to be some challenges in his Christian experience. Listen at this. When he got up, notice this, there's no bewilderment, there's no confusion. He's not getting up saying, okay, God, what happened to me? You know, why did you let this happen to me? I don't know why you left. He didn't do any of that. He got up and he stayed focused on his assignment, and he went right back in that same city and preached the word. Why? Because he anticipated challenges. He understood that in this Christian life that we are going to have some trouble. We're going to have some challenges. We're going to have some problems. The devil would not be a devil if he was not going to come at you. So we've got to stop throwing our hands up, asking God, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? What did I go wrong? No, we are not in heaven, but we are soldiers that we've learned. And so we are in spiritual warfare. So we have to anticipate. We're not believing for problems, but we have to anticipate that the enemy is going to try to shoot us down.
My Lord, come on.
You following me? You following me? Now listen at this. 1 Peter 4, 12 says, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. Don't think it's strange when situations happen. He said, don't think it's strange as though some strange thing happened to you. We are not in heaven. Come on, say that. We are not in heaven. Come on, say yet.
Yet.
We're going to be in heaven, and we won't have no demons, no devils, no problems, no situations, no challenges, nothing when we get to heaven. But we are not in heaven. Come on, say, we are not.
We're not in heaven.
Now, we're talking about the first part of this key. We have to anticipate some challenges. We got to anticipate some challenges because your victory is in overcoming those challenges. Now, listen carefully. Satan will test the quality of your commitment. Okay? You can't operate by faith apart from speaking it. Okay? How many believe the Bible? Okay, wave at me. Okay, that's in church. Okay, that's in church. Now, how many of you believe in the Bible when you go to work, when you go to school, when you have situation, we got problem coming up? See, you got to believe the Bible when you leave church, when you leave Bible study. Now, listen. Satan is going to test the quality of your commitment.
My Lord.
You say you believe it. You stand up. I'm healed by Jesus, right? I got the victory. I'm a world overcomer. So Satan said, well, let's see. Okay, let's see whether you really believe that. And unfortunately, many Christians are throwing their hands up in the air in confusion, bewilderment, asking God, why is it happening to them? Because they're acting like they're in heaven. But we are not in heaven. Now, listen at this. Believers have the supernatural capacity to bear fruit even in adversity. Now, that's the beautiful of our experience, that even in adversity, we can still bear some fruit. The Bible says over in Exodus chapter 1, when the Israelites were afflicted by the Egyptians, the Bible said the more they afflicted them, the more they grew.
Wow.
Expect growth in adversity. You can expect to grow in adversity. Listen to me carefully now. Bear fruit. Put Jeremiah up there. Boy, you got to see this. We're just looking at the first half, and then we're going to look at these afflictions and all this other stuff. But you got to understand that you're going to have some challenges in life. But watch this verse. I want you to look at this verse. You see this verse? It says, blessed is the man that trusts the Lord. Anybody here trust the Lord? How many trust the Lord? Okay, you trust the Lord? Wave at me. Now watch this. Blessed is the man that trusts the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Watch this. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spread out his roots by the river, and shall not see, the word see there means fear, shall not fear when the heat come. Come on, say the heat coming. Shall not fear when the heat come, but her leaf shall be what?
Green,
and shall not be careful or worry in the time of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now notice, even when the heat come, because the heat going to come, when the heat come, the Bible says, because our roots is in the word. Now, that's why I'm trying to get you in the word. If your roots is in the word, when the heat, when the pressure come, the Bible says that you're not going to be afraid. When the heat comes, you're not going to be afraid of it. Watch this. And watch this. Your leaf going to stay green. In other words, you're going to have enthusiasm because joy going to kick in. You have something that the world doesn't have. World has happiness, but you got joy. Joy is on the inside. So right in the middle of that chapter, your leaf ain't going to wither. You're going to be just excited about Jesus. Why? Because you know the end result. You know this is temporary. Come on, say, this is temporary. Since you know that, you can still be excited. You're not going to be walking around at work with your head down. You're not going to be walking around like this in school with your head down, because there ain't no testimony with your head down because everybody else got their head down. No, you're going to have your head up and you're going to be excited because your leaf is going to remain green. You're not going to worry in the year of drought. And watch this. You're never going to stop producing fruit. Even in adversity. So here's the first part of that key now. Jesus is teaching us this so that when we run up against some things, we won't fall apart. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't fall apart. Okay? Don't fall apart. It's beautiful here. It's calming here because we in Bible study. Bible study is preparing us for this nasty, needy, ugly world on the outside. But we're going to win on the outside if we understand how the game is played. And the first thing he's telling us, he said, now listen, you're on my team. I love you, I'm with you, but you're on enemy ground. You're not in heaven. So he's telling us you're gonna have some challenges. He said, but don't fall apart, okay? Anticipate challenges. Got it? Anticipate what?
Challenge.
Doesn't mean you did anything wrong. And God'll tell you when you do something wrong. So you don't have to keep asking, did I do something wrong? What I did wrong? You don't have to ask him that. Your Father loves you. If you spend time in prayer, he'll tell you when you're doing something wrong. Okay, got that? Let's look at the second part. And then now that we're anticipating the challenge, we got to handle the pressure. Okay, we got to what? We got to handle the pressure. So let's go back to Mark chapter 4, verse 17. Let's go back to Mark and let's look at the pressure. Let's look at the pressure. Verse 16, it says, having no root in themselves, and so they endure but for a time afterward. Now, when the sun comes out, when what?
Affliction.
What?
Affliction.
Three things in red. What are those?
Affliction, persecution, and offense.
Okay, that's pressure. Okay, let's look at those three things. Satan used three types of pressure. Three types of pressure. Three types of pressure. He uses affliction, he uses persecution, and he uses offense. Now remember, you got to always listen out of both of your ears. Do this, do this, do this, okay? You got to listen out of one ear for yourself, but you got to listen out of the other ear because we are a church, okay? We're a family, we're a body. So these kinds of pressures are going to come to us individually. And these pressures are going to come to every church that God raises up. Every church that God raised and really doing something going to feel this right here. Okay? So there are three types of pressure. Affliction is the pressure of circumstances. Persecution is the pressure of people. And offense is pressure against our emotions. Affliction, circumstances, persecution is people, and offense is our emotions. So there are three types of pressure that you're going to experience from the enemy. You're going to experience affliction, which has to do with circumstances, persecution, that should be persecution, and there should be people, and then offense is emotions. So there are three types of pressure. The pressure of circumstances, that's affliction. The persecution is the pressure of people. And then offense is the pressure of our emotions. Now, when we look at all three of these, let's look at these. And I got a quiz at the end. Okay, I got a test. I'm the teacher, so I'm going to give you a test. And I'm not going to let you go home if you don't pass. Oh. If you don't pass, I'm going to put you in class. You're going to stay here all night. Oh. You're going to stay here till next Wednesday, okay? So you gotta guess it. But good teachers always give you the answer before they give you the question, okay? So listen at this. Affliction is adversity, is trouble, is temptations, is negative circumstances. The best way to understand affliction is to understand this. Whenever God tells you something and you believe it, affliction is a contradiction.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. If God says by Jesus' stripes you're healed and you believe it and believe you receive, then you get a bad doctor's report. Got it? Or you're standing on the word and God says, I supply all your needs, and all of a sudden another bill comes in. Does that make sense to you? In other words, when Jesus says we're going to the other side to his disciples, they got in the boat, and the moment they got in the boat, a storm came. What was that? It was an affliction. It was a contradiction. So what Satan has to do now to get you off the word, when you're standing, when you're believing, you got God's word, God said to you, expect a contradiction. Don't let the contradiction throw you, because what Satan wants you to do is to agree with the contradiction. Now, if you agree with the contradiction, then he can enforce the contradiction. Mm. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
You understand that? And so sometimes you hear people say, man, it just seemed like things got worse. That's a contradiction.
My.
In other words, that's an affliction. And if you understand that, it won't throw you. That's why the boat is full of water and the disciples are panicking. But Jesus said, we're going to the other side. He got up and he said, hey, guys, why y'all tripping? I mean, why y'all acting so crazy? I told you we're going to the other side. Peace be still. Why? He understood that that was a contradiction.
My Lord.
Now, when you understand the contradiction, it won't throw you. If you don't understand this, you're going to get afraid and Satan's going to beat you at the game. And that's where many Christians get beat. They stand on the word. They got the word. The Spirit of God spoke to them. They know what God said. That's why I'm trying to get you to spend time with God so you'll know what God said. You understand that? Do you understand that? Does that make sense? You understand the affliction part? Okay, the next pressure is persecution. Got to listen out of both of your ears now. Got to listen out of both of your ears. Next is persecution. Now, 2 Timothy 3:12 says all who live godly are going to experience persecution. So if you're going to live right, you're going to live up before God, you're going to have some persecution. Come on, get over yourself. Come on, just get over yourself. If you're going to live right, I ain't talking about living crazy. If you're going to live right, you're going to experience some persecution. It just goes with the game. Not only the individual, but the church. Any church that's doing anything for God gonna get talked about.
My.
That's the name of the game. Listen at this. The word persecute means to put to flight. It means to drive away. It means to put to flight or what?
Drive away.
It means to put to flight, drive away. Persecution is pressure from people. It's pressure from people. It's pressure from people. And Satan wants. Now, remember, we don't see the devil now. Remember, he's hid himself. He's camouflaged. So it's the pressure now that comes from the people. It comes from people. Now, listen at this. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 43 through 45. Put that up there for us. I got a quiz now. I'm not going to let you go home if you don't answer it. I'm telling them to keep you in class. You're going to be in class. You're just going to stay in class. Call your folk and let them know that you're going to be in class. Okay, watch this. Talking about persecution. Remember, it means to put to flight. It means to put to flight. It means to drive you away. Watch this. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews, the religious proselytes, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue the grace of God. And the next Sabbath, now watch this. Look at this. So Paul and Barnabas is preaching the word. Remember persecution. Watch this. And the next Sabbath day, almost what?
The whole
city. Let me tell you something. So many people coming to Faith Chapel, Columbus. It's just going to be people going to stand in line to get in this church. They're going to be driving from Atlanta. They're going to be driving from all over all the different counties. And then people going to say almost the whole city is coming out to hear the word. You mark it down. You just mark it down. I'm telling you, y'all going to be saying, oh, man, we got to stand in line to get in this church. My God, look at all these cars, man. I got to go an hour early to just get a good seat. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Mark it down. Write it down. Come on, mark that down. Mark that down. Mark it down. What's today's date? It's what? The 8th what? People will stand in line to get into Faith Chapel, Columbus. Okay, back to the story. And the next Sabbath day came almost what? The whole city to hear who?
The word.
Now watch persecution. Watch persecution. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Watch this. And they spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, doing what?
Contradicting.
Now, I want you to notice some key things in this verse, and you learn something about persecution. One of the roots of persecution is envy. Envy. Now, listen, if you stay in the word, it's going to produce. Okay? It's going to produce. If you're diligent and stay in the Word, it's going to produce. It's going to be producing. And it's going to produce corporately, and it's going to produce individually. But envy, oh, my God. Oh, you're going to get talked about. child, let me tell you something. The moment you start standing out front, you get a promotion on your job, and everybody know you love Jesus, and you get promoted, and you don't have all the background everybody got, the favor God came on you, you're going to get talked about. And it's jealousy. You have to understand the name of the game. It's jealousy. Years ago, before our church started growing, man, I tell you, the Spirit of God spoke to me. This is what he said to me. He said, you need to be prepared for jealous spirits. Man, we have a lot of folk coming to our church. So I'm thinking, prepared? What do I need to be prepared for jealous spirits? I mean, ain't nobody jealous. Don't nobody even know where I am. Ain't nobody coming to the church. Why I need to be prepared? Why should anybody be jealous? But he knew our church was going to grow. And he was telling me ahead of time that there are going to be people. And a lot of times, it's other Christians. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. He said, be prepared for jealous spirits. So the root of persecution is jealous. Those Jews, see, they had church too. Mm-hmm. Think about it. They had church too.
That's right.
They were open every Saturday. They were open. And then these dudes come in town, and then the whole city coming over to hear these guys, and ain't nobody in their church. So the Bible said when they saw the multitude, it was a multitude that they saw. Right. When they saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You got to listen out of both your ears. You got to listen from an individual level. You, as you're promoted, as you increase, as you prosper, there are going to be some people who are going to try to come against you. So don't let it throw you, okay? Don't get stuff in your heart. Don't even talk about it. Don't even talk about it. Don't even talk about them. They against me. And don't even give it fuel. Stay focused.
Amen. Amen.
Stay focused. Now watch this. Watch this. So they did two things. They contradicted and blasphemed. Now here's what contradiction means. It means to speak against what was taught, believed, or practiced. Speak against what was what?
Taught,
believed, or practiced. In other words, they said, "Dang, you know, ain't nothing to that old tithe and stuff. Y'all over there giving your money to that preacher and stuff like that. Honey, you all stop giving your money to that old preacher over there." Well, see, they are speaking against what was taught. Contradicting simply means to speak against what was taught, what was believed, what was practiced. So you're going to have people to speak against what you teach. You're going to speak against what you're practicing and what you believe. And then sometimes, if, for example, it's so unfortunate, but if your whole family ain't moving in God, sometimes you have it even in your home.
Yeah, that's right.
Does that make sense? Sometimes you have it moving in your home. My mother was my hero. I mean, my dad was my hero, but she was my number one fan, okay? When we started this church and stuff like that, and then God spoke, I was in a small church. God led me to leave and to start this church. My mama said, "Micah, why you leaving that church right there? And you got something." My whole church was about this big right here, that section right there. And she was so proud of her baby. You know, my baby pastor the church. I mean, he pastor the church. See, God wanted me to pastor thousands, but she's so proud. She said, "Micah, why would you leave? You got something. You don't know where you going." Well, she didn't mean any harm. She didn't mean any harm. She number one fan. That girl, she loved me, raised me, took me when I was given away. But she didn't understand There are going to be people who just don't understand. When I got saved, got turned on, got filled with the Spirit, started preaching the word, I had some cousins that said that I had kind of lost my mind. And then my uncle said, well, he'll be all right. He'll get it together. Sometimes people just don't understand, precious people. They don't mean any harm. So ain't no need to get all upset and all mad and all acting crazy. Just love people. They don't understand what you heard. They weren't in the environment where you heard the word. They don't know what God said to you. My mama wasn't there when God spoke to me. So she's speaking from a natural possession. But it wasn't like she was trying to undermine me. So everybody ain't trying to get you. But it's going to be some people who just don't understand. And it's going to be some people who are just jealous. And they're going to contradict and then they're going to blaspheme. Now, this is the hard part. Blaspheme, it means to speak against or defame the purpose, the person. It means to damage the reputation, to damage your name. So, you know, some of you girls, you're living for God. There are going to be people call you whores, okay? Whores. That ain't a bad word, is it? Can I say that?
Yeah,
I did, didn't I? Okay. Okay, but think about it. You're living for God. People say you're a whore. That can sting, can it? Well, I've been called just about everything. I've been called a Jim Jones false prophet. I've been called money grubber. I've been called a lot of names. Church been called a cult. I mean, just a lot of things. You just call a lot of, just call a lot of things. Think about it. You know, the word out that people have to show their check stubs at our church. Think about that. Thousands of people coming out of church and all the people crazy. They got to show their check stubs. These intelligent people. But that's the lie. That's the lie Satan says. Everybody down there, you know, they just have to show your check stubs because we teach tithing, see? So they think you got to show your check stubs. So that's the lie. So let me tell you something. I'm just telling you this. You're going to have some folk that try to defame you. The contradiction has to do with what you believe. Blasphemy has to do with you. Defame you, your reputation come against you. That's the name of the game. That's the name of the game. When you understand that, you don't get offended, which is the next one. Let's look at offense. Let's look at offended. Offense is that third pressure, and it's the pressure against your emotions. The offense.
Offense.
The word offense means to put a stumbling block or an impediment in the way to cause you to fall or cause you to be hurt or become resentful. It's pressure against your emotions. Satan wants you to respond improperly. Okay? He wants you to what?
Respond improperly.
In other words, he wants you to get offended. Because if he can get you offended, he can take the word from you. So let's look at 2 Timothy. It says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. If you're going to live for God, you can't be in strife. Okay, you can't be in strife. Look at the next verse. It says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, as God perhaps will give them repentance to their knowledge of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the who are taken captive by him, the devil, at his strife opens you up for the enemy. It opens you up for the enemy. And the Bible says if we don't recover ourselves, the enemy can walk in our lives at will. He can do whatever he wants to. So Satan is going to work real hard. That's that third pressure. He's going to work real hard to get you offended. Offended at leadership, offended at people, offended at Christians, offended at a doctrine, offended at something. He wants you to get offended. He wants you to get offended. That's the name of the game. He got to get you offended. Listen at this. Satan used offense to cause believers to withdraw. Either physically or psychologically, because isolation is the goal. Christians get offended. They walk away from church. Watch this. When they walk away from church, they have no covering and they have no connection from the saints. So now they're isolated. So Satan now can deal just with them. Doesn't have to go against the crowd. Don't have to go against your prayers. Don't have to go against your intercession. Don't have to go against you at all. Now Satan has you out here isolated. So what he wants to do is he wants to get you offended so you will withdraw either physically or psychologically, because Satan wants you out here by yourself. Because he knows that he has a better chance of defeating you when you're isolated than when you're connected. Offense is the result of having failed to properly respond. Now, I'm going to give you a quiz in a minute. I'm almost at the end. Say respond.
Respond.
Say respond.
Respond.
The Lord taught me this. I got three more minutes. So I'm see, can I hit it in 3 minutes? The Lord taught me this early in my ministry. He taught me this early in my ministry. And I think it saved my church. I think it saved me. He taught me to react in love. See, during them early days, I'm preaching the gospel and folk talking about me. Okay, they talking about me, calling me all kinds of stuff, man. I'm hearing all kinds of stuff. And that stuff can get in you if you allow it.
Right.
So at my first church, there was a one of my leaders, man. He would smile with you and talk about you. He didn't really want you there. So I'm in the barbershop, man. I knew he didn't want me there at that church. And I was in the barbershop. I was sitting in the barbershop. He came through the door. I went, oh, God. I didn't want to see him. He came in the barbershop because I knew you were going to be grinning in my face. Watch this. I know it had to be the Spirit. Because I didn't know enough Bible to do it, okay? Before he got to me, I ran up to him and hugged him. What the Spirit taught me, oh, if you get this, you don't get much else. Oh, he taught me my reaction is in my control. Can't control what you say, what you do, how you think. But my reaction is in my control. And he taught me to react in love. React in love. I was driving from a church one day. Somebody had said something to me ugly at church. Man, I was driving low. I felt so bad they said that to me. I was on the highway. I pulled a car over off the highway, got out of the car, stood up on the side of the highway, and I said, God, what they said back there to me was not right. But you said, when I stand praying, to forgive. So, Father, I want you to forgive them. I'm not going to hold it against them. I'll release them in Jesus' name. And I got back in my, I'm on the highway because Jesus said, when you stand, pray and forgive. I took him literally. I stood. God taught me that nobody can stop you but you.
That's right.
Folk talking about you, folks saying this about you, don't let people get in you. Forgive them. Watch this. The proper response, whether you're in church, out of church, the proper response is confrontation. I'm going to talk to you. When I talk to you, I get it out of me. Does that make sense? I'm not going to be processing it for 2 years and 3 years. I'm going to get it out of me. This is what I think you did. This is what I think was wrong. I think you should have did. See, I'm going to get it out of me. I'm not going to let it settle down in me. Honest and transparent. I'm not going to lie to myself. Oh, it's all right. I'm all right. You know, ain't no problem. I'm fine. You're lying to yourself. You need to go and be honest. It hurts you. It offended you. So go listen. What you said hurt me. It offended me. I thought you shouldn't have said that. Now, watch this. I did two things. I got it out of me. So the devil can't drop no thoughts in my head. Because I already talked to her. Now, watch this. And not only that, I was honest and transparent. Now, I forgive you, regardless to whether you said I'm wrong, apologize, don't make no difference. Your response make no difference. Jesus told me to forgive, so I forgive you. Now I can walk away and I can keep moving in God. Now, she can't stop me. She can't slow me down. That's true of the church. We're never in our church going to sit up and talk about folk. You're never going to hear me talk from this pulpit about folk. You're never going to hear that. And we're going to hear things, y'all, because we're going to grow, we're going to prosper, we're going to increase, and we're going to hear stuff. And we're going to let it just roll across our back, and we're going to love folk, we're going to respond in love. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despise you. We're going to do it. Do it. We ain't going, I just don't think they should have did that. You're talking to the wrong person. I just don't think she should have did that, Peter. You should talk to her. Okay, test time. Okay, it's test. How many got somebody listening today? Okay, I'm going to see. Put Mark 4:16 up there. I'm going to read 16 and 17. I'm going to ask you two questions. These are they likewise which are sown on the stone of ground. When they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with
gladness.
After, and they have no root in themselves, so endure for a time. But after, when affliction or persecution arrive for the word's sake, immediately they are what?
Offended.
Okay, so first question. Why does the persecution, the affliction, and the offense comes? Y'all looking just like I looked in that cost accounting class. When I was in that cost accounting class, I didn't have a clue what was going on in that class. I was like, man, I'd be glad when they let us out here. I mean, it was like a glaze carrying across y'all face. All of y'all look like who gonna go first? I mean, okay. You know what? I don't know if I'm gonna let you go first because you're the smart. You've always been one of the smart students. I'm gonna come back to you.
Okay,
I'm gonna come back to you. Who? Somebody else had the hand. Okay, I'm gonna come to you because I don't think we ever had an interaction. Why does the affliction, the persecution, offense come?
So the enemy can snatch the word from us.
Amen.
I bet that's what you were gonna say. Oh, I was going to say you're wrong, too. You let me down. Come on now. I done told everybody you're the smart. No, all these folks accepted Christ. Everybody accepted Christ. Watch this. And have no root in themselves, so endure for a time after when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake. So the affliction, the persecution, and the offense is for the
word's sake.
So Satan now has camouflaged himself. Now he's hiding behind the affliction, the persecution, and the offense. But what he's after is the
word.
Okay, here's the second question. She said she ain't gonna raise her hand. Okay, here's the second question. And I'll be through. Here's the second question. Why is Satan successful in getting the word from the stony ground hearer? Y'all got that same expression on y'all face. Why was he? Let's go back, verse 17, and have no root in, now listen at the words, no root in themselves. Listen at that, no root in
themselves.
So they were superficial Christians. They were emotion-driven Christians. And they did not, watch this now, they did not take the time to meditate on the word for themselves. They knew what the pastor said. You know, our pastor believe this. Okay, our pastor believe this. No. No. They had no root in themselves. So they didn't take the time to get the revelation for themselves. They didn't go back and listen to it. They didn't listen to the MP3 or the CD or whatever. They didn't study it out. So all they knew is what pastor said. So when they hit an affliction, pastor wasn't there. And they had no. Now listen carefully. They were overly dependent on others' faith. You do it for me, pastor. You hear from God for me, Pastor. You pray for me, Pastor. So they were overly dependent on somebody else's faith. So when the enemy came, they didn't have the root in the revelation, and they end up taking the word. How many got at least one thing out of it?